Foundations of Western Civilization, Lecture 14. Plotinus, St. Augustine. The End of Antiquity and the Medieval Synthesis.
In our last lecture, we wound up our segment on the Christian Bible, focusing on the beginning of the Gospel of John and the beginning with it of a conflation or interaction between Christian belief and Greek thought, in particular a form of Platonic thought. We spoke about the mission of Paul and justification by faith. And before that, of course, we spoke about the teachings of Jesus himself, the rule of universal benevolence. We're now at a point where we have very nearly completed the puzzle, completed the process of evoking the interactions between Greek, Roman, and Hebrew culture, which laid the foundation for Western thought. But we have two major pieces yet to put in place. The first of them is the founder, or the crystallizer, I suppose you could say, of Neoplatonic philosophy, Plotinus. You'll remember that in response to a previous lecture, we talked about the seeming contradictions between Plato and Aristotle. And I mentioned at that time that over the course of centuries, these conflicts in point of view were worked out into a coherent system, which became, in a sense, the last word of sophisticated Greco-Roman paganism, the, in effect, religion of the pagan elite of the Roman Empire as the Roman Empire drew to its close. More than any other single person, quite a bit more than any other single person, that synthesis was worked out by Plotinus, who was born in 205 CE or AD, lived in Alexandria, Egypt, and then came under imperial patronage and moved on to Rome, where he finished his life in 270. His writings are preserved for us in six groups of nine essays called the Enneads, which were organized, and there's a preface too, by his disciple Porphyry. They are tough going as reading. Plotinus is in the curious situation of being a philosopher who formulated a system of dazzling intellectual coherence and durability, who expressed that system in writings which are dense, often obscure, and very hard to follow, and are organized in their sequence of 54 in an order, the logic of which is, for me at least, difficult to ascertain. Nevertheless, if you take the trouble and go through it, you do come up with the Plotinian vision. And here, in essence, is how it works. At the top of the hierarchy of being for Plotinus is the unnameable God, To'on, the One. He, thinking about himself, gives rise to an image of himself, which is called the nous, or the mind. That thinking about itself gives rise to the soul of the world, and then stemming from the soul of the world, you have the world itself. So, what you have is the world of forms, in effect, stemming from God, thinking about himself in the nous, in the divine mind. That's the form of all forms. That's Plato, in effect, which finds expression then in the world soul, which then gives rise to the forms, the individual forms of every single being on earth. This cat, that cat, and that cat, this dog, that dog, and that dog. all of them reflecting in a sort of hierarchy, working their way up to the form of all forms, which is the nous, which in its turn derives from God.